first team offense need you on the field during preseason at all, or what's the philosophy?
Well, to give you my philosophy, I won't be playing this weekend, or Monday night, I guess, but my plan is to play that third game, which is typically the most important one for the first unit that they'll get the most work. And so that's my plan, and I think that's the plan that gives me the best opportunity to get ready for the season and to be able to survive the full 16-plus weeks.
Do you have any pushback from ESPN on that?
On what? Oh, not playing on Monday? Oh, the ratings are going to plummet, so I'm sure they'll be really upset.
No, I mean, seriously, though, there were false starts in the first game. There was holding penalties. Osweiler never got a chance to really execute. How did they overcome that?
Well, I think in my 11 years, that first preseason game tends to be full of mistakes in general, just all across the NFL, penalties and missed assignments and formation errors, because it's kind of your first opportunity to go out there and play against somebody else. So I don't think that's too uncommon. But certainly as we look forward to the second game, we're hoping to clear some of that up so that the offense can get into more of a rhythm, because when you're constantly being pushed back on first and second down from sacks or lost yardage runs or penalties, it does put you out of your normal offense, and you don't get an opportunity to try to execute your normal offense and normal down and distance and get into that rhythm that all coaches want to see in that preseason.
So what are your expectations of Osweiler when he's on the field in his second game?
I guess I haven't thought about my expectations for him personally, but I hope as a whole offense that we play better than we did in the first game and we show improvement from where we were in the first game. And I think that's just, for me, a universal kind of the way I see preseason, is just making little increments each week, getting a little bit better, and getting into a little bit of a rhythm and a flow for when the regular season starts.
Joe, along those lines, what are you seeing in Kaiser? Are you seeing that development and that growth week by week, practice by practice?
From an X's and O's standpoint, I'm not sure, because I don't sit in their meetings and I don't understand his position the way I would have to evaluate his progress. But I think from like a comfort, confidence, leadership standpoint, which is what I can grade and which I think as a quarterback is very important, you do see that maturity and that growth happening. You see that confidence coming, and I think that's one of the most important things for a quarterback, because he's got to be confident getting back into his drop, that he can go through his progression quickly, throw to his spot, somebody's going to be there, and it's going to be a completed pass, and he's got to have confidence in knowing that he understands the defense and the route concepts. So in that respect, I do think he's making some nice progress, and I'm excited for his future.
Would your mindset or expectations change at all if he wound up being the starter week one?
It wouldn't, because I know the way Hugh is, he's going to play the quarterback that gives us the best chance to win. He's not going to put somebody in there who's not ready just because he's playing for a couple years down the line. That's not the way he's wired. He wants to win. So whoever wins the quarterback spot, I'm going to put my trust and faith in Hugh that that's the player that's going to give us the best chance to win.
Do you think Kaiser would be served better to play against the number one defense out here before he goes against the number one defense on another team?
To be honest, I don't understand the question, because he is getting a lot of ones reps.
But with the one offense, but not against too much the one defense.
Is he going against the scout team? Or?
It looks like he's going against the third defense to me. A lot. Maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Usually I just watch the old linemen. So.
Well, I'm wondering, is there a step
before
he goes against another team's? Because it seems like Garrett made that progression.
Yeah, okay, I see. Well, to be honest, I don't think that Deshaun will be the starter in week one. I think that it is a competition, but I would expect Brock to win because of his experience. And a rookie quarterback is the hardest position to get ready to play in your first year. And so there's no doubt he could win the competition. I definitely would expect probably Brock to win it, just because, like I said, my personal philosophy is as a quarterback, it takes at least 2 or 3 years to have a basic level of understanding of NFL defenses and offenses to be able to operate proficiently out there on the field, especially in week one. That would be, it'd be asking a lot. Now, I could be totally wrong. I might be going out on a limb here, but I think that they're grooming Brock to be the starter in week one, based on what I've seen.
Hey, Joe, what the yard per carry average is pretty good last year, but what, how, what can you guys do to improve the run game? And I'm sure you'll soon, you think it will be better.
Well, I think the additions we've made on the offensive line will help. I think we had a pretty good running game going until we lost Joel and John, and I expect just the addition of the extra guys that we brought in on the offensive line to improve our run game, but also for the running backs and for the tight ends and the offensive line as well, having another year in Hugh's system will help with the details, because the run game is difficult because you have to have everybody that's a blocker do the right thing at the same time, and nobody can get beat. Otherwise, it's basically a lost play, a 0 or 1 yard, unless your running back makes some unbelievable play. So to be able to get 7 or 6 NFL players to defeat their man on any one play at the exact same time, the odds are sometimes slim, but the more you spend time together in the same offense, the better your chances get, the better your communication is, the more you understand how the ball is supposed to be run on a certain play, how it's going to be blocked. I think naturally that makes you better.
Is that being in the same offense, does it affect the run game more than pass protection?
Yes, because pass protections are generally the same. We've got 5 offensive linemen. We're going to try to block the 5 guys that come in some manner, some prescription, and sometimes there's a running back blocking, sometimes there's a tight end blocking, sometimes the quarterback sending in us in one direction or another. But for the most part, it's pass blocking, whereas offensive run games have totally different philosophies from one coordinator to the next. You look at Kyle Shanahan's rushing scheme versus Eric Mangini's rushing scheme, totally different. The techniques were different, the concepts were different, the back's aiming points were different. And so it takes time to get comfortable in a new rushing scheme, whereas you can line up with anybody in the NFL and pass pro, and pretty much you're going to do the same type of stuff.
Hugh talks about the commitment to run this year, which wasn't there last year because we had the fewest rushing attempts of any team. But
fun fact, I didn't know that.
You mentioned Shanahan. He had a commitment to run. He had a commitment to run Shanahan.
Yeah.
Do you have confidence that Hugh can really adhere to his commitment to run?
Yeah. Well, I think it's going to come down to one thing, and that's how effective we are running the ball. I can't remember out of the 25 offensive coordinators that I've had here, one that didn't come in and say, we want to run the football. Because everybody wants to run the football. That's the easiest thing to do. That's the lowest risk thing to do as an offensive coordinator. You just hand the ball off and you just move down the field. That's great. But you're going to have to throw the ball eventually to win, because you're going to be in a 2-minute situation a lot. You're going to be down, you're going to be ahead. You know, how effective you are leads you to how much you want to run the ball. And I think that kind of comes back to what we're doing in training camp, is that's Hugh's commitment to running the ball. Is we're going to work on it a lot. We're going to spend a lot of time in practice working on it. We're going to tackle in practice. We're going to have a physical camp. And that's going to hopefully prepare us to have a good running game during the season. Now, whether it works or not, that's going to determine how many more times they call the run, because when you're 1-15 and you're losing in every game, you're not going to be running dives and power in the fourth quarter when you're down by 14 points.
Did you have any sense a couple years ago when Shanahan did come in, though? Like you said, everyone has the commitment. Going through training camp, you remember back that far, that you guys were going to be a good running team, because you started the season really, really well. I think Terrence West may have run for 100 yards against the Steelers in the first game. Can you tell in training camp?
I remember that game. We were down 28-3 at half, I think. When we came back, we kept running the ball.
Can you tell in training camp?
You can. It's like I mentioned to Tony, it's kind of the level of commitment and the amount of time you spend on something. You know, I think what a coach values is not necessarily what he says, but how much time he commits to something. And you can tell we spent a lot of time working on the running game. And so I see a similar level of commitment from Hugh to wanting to be good at running the ball. You know, like I said, a lot of coordinators come in and say, we want to run the football. And then all you do all practice is throw the ball. So then it becomes apparent where his intentions really are.
Is the time you're being spent a lot different than last year's camp?
Ooh, can't remember that particularly, but I do think that we would have run the ball more had we been in those games towards the end of the game last year.
So can you talk about, you are the only offensive lineman, I think, to be featured on something like this on Eden
60. Oh, yeah.
Can you just talk about, you know, uh-huh. what an honor that might be mm-hmm. for you and give us a little mm-hmm. sneak preview mm-hmm. of what they mm-hmm. did?
Good question. I think when ESPN came to me and asked me about doing something like that, I was maybe lukewarm at best at the beginning because not my favorite thing to do all the time is 2 or 3 days of on-camera stuff. But I did feel a little bit humbled that I was the first offensive lineman that they've ever asked to do an E60 special on. So I thought that was kind of special and felt that it was definitely deserving of my time when I got the full information on what was going to happen and basically what the show was all about.
Joe, Jeremy Schaaf was on the radio today. He said he asked you if you could name all 18 quarterbacks that have started games. uh-huh. Did you answer that?
Yeah, that's a good preview. That's maybe MK's second part of her question. I spent a lot of time at it. And I don't think I named all the quarterbacks. I was really close, but there's like the middle ages in my life, like year 5 to 7, that it was just really hard to remember who was the quarterbacks back then.
Joe, could you talk about, does Irving need just a quiet game out there on the offensive line where the referee isn't announcing his number and thus everybody's saying, oh, there's Cam Irving again? I mean, what if he just had a quiet game where you left the stadium, you didn't even know mm-hmm. who the tackle mm-hmm. was?
Well, that's the game that every tackle wants to have, is when nobody notices him. And I think it would certainly help from a confidence standpoint to be able to go out there and have that game where nobody notices you and you don't you know, have any glaring mistakes. That's a good way to build your confidence. So certainly we expect that from him on Monday night and hope that he can get that ball rolling then on Monday.
Another relationship with Garrett. We've heard stories of you helping him. You've talked about it. He has. Mm-hmm. I mean, are these just little things here and there? Are you ready to leave your wife for him? What's
He's got some work to do. I'm going to do that. No, I've found Miles really engaging and fun to talk to because he's very interested in getting better. You know, he's the type of rookie that you want. He wants to hear every bit of information you can give him, and I'm not any replacement for his coach. I don't understand a lot of things about being a defensive lineman, but I think I can give him unique perspective from an offensive lineman's viewpoint of what he's doing, what he can do better, what he can improve on, what I'm thinking, and hopefully just every day just feed him a few little tidbits that he can process because he's very analytical. He thinks a lot like I do, and he's always trying to break every little thing down and try to figure out where he can get better. And a guy like that's really fun to work with.
Is there any reason you've seen, attitude-wise, to believe he won't be a good player?
No, I think he's got a tremendous attitude. He's, you know, you don't want to build somebody up too much and make the expectations too high. But he's a great kid, a great man. He's been fun to work with, and he's got all the talent. He checks all the boxes, so. There's obviously a lot of variables and a lot of things that can happen in football that are sometimes out of people's control, but there's no reservations from me at this point.
Joe, what kind of difference does having a healthy Joe Patonio on that line make for you guys?
Well, I think it can make a big difference. On the offensive line, you're always trying to get your best five players on the field, and when you lose one, it makes things tough because you're obviously getting worse when you lose one of your starting five guys, and Joel is, in my opinion, one of the best guards in the NFL, and having him out there is a huge boost for us in the run game and the pass game, but emotionally, I think he brings an energy and an enthusiasm to the offense that can kind of help lift all the boats on the offense. You know, when he's like the tide, when he comes in, everyone just gets lifted.
Hey Joe, you talked about Brock expecting him to be the starter. What have you seen from him? You've been around him now, whatever, 4 months, 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
What have you seen from him and the fact that, you know, he could step in and be your whatever 19th quarterback?
Well, he's got the it factor when it comes to being a quarterback. He's got the leadership and the understanding and the communication skills that it takes to be a starting quarterback. But when he's in the game and when he's in the practice, it's got that feel of an NFL quarterback. He gets in the huddle, he calls the play with enthusiasm and gets everybody to the line of scrimmage quickly, gets everybody organized. He gets the ball, he drops back, he gets where he's supposed to be. He throws the ball on time to where it's supposed to be thrown. And it's not always perfect, but that is like the minimum that you have to be a good starting quarterback in the NFL. If you can't do that, you can't play in the NFL.
Were you surprised at all, John? Because we heard all kinds of stories you probably had, too, of him being kind of hard to get along with in Houston. Did his personality surprise you at all?
I guess I didn't follow that story too closely, but if that was the case, surprised because he seems like he's very easy to get along with. He's got a passion for the game. He's got enthusiasm and smarts and a will to win and desire to compete. So I don't understand how you can not get along with somebody. Maybe he was too competitive, and I don't know.
we're all looking for the next great hope, and I'm sure deep down inside you are too before your career is over. Quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
How do you suppress that feeling and that openly rooting for Kaiser? Like, mm-hmm. you're showing restraint here today.
That, mm-hmm.
So how do you suppress your fast forward, let's get the next guy in here before I'm done?
Feeling? Yeah. Well, I know that just because Deshaun might be good in a few years doesn't mean you want to throw him in before he's ready. You know, I've been on teams where they throw a guy in there because he's the first-round pick or he's the guy that the front office says, well, you got to play this guy. And it doesn't always work out the best for the player or the team. The team ends up usually losing, and the player loses confidence in himself because they're just not ready. The game is so complex at any position, and the quarterback position it's so detailed, and it takes such a level of competence that it's so difficult for a quarterback to be able to master that in only one training camp or one season. And so while I think Deshaun's done an amazing job and he's exceeded most people's expectations, that doesn't necessarily just mean he's ready to be the starter tomorrow. There's still a lot of work that needs to be done before I think he's ready. And you don't want to see a guy lose his confidence and lose his swagger by being played before he's ready. Yeah, you know, big decisions like that, Hugh and I will have conversations. He'll bounce things off of me, some of the other leaders on the team, because I think he wants to just get the pulse of the team. And 99 times out of 100, we're on the same page because everybody's out there practice, everybody's watching the film. It becomes pretty clear on the direction of the decisions that he's going to make. Like when he decided to put Brock in there last week as the starter, I think everybody kind of knew by being around at practice that he'd performed the best out of that group, and he was ready to be the starter. And so we do have those conversations. I'm not sure that any one of the players is the deciding vote, but certainly it feels good to have a coach that's interested in getting as many people's input on his big decisions.
I think you may have said this to us in the past before, but I heard one nugget that came out of the E60 thing was that you called Hugh the best coach you've had.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain your thinking behind that? Because I think, you know, a lot of people who aren't around Hugh every day just look at 1-15 and say, well, how
mm-hmm.
can that be?
Mm-hmm. Well, the reason I said that is because I feel it, and I think Hugh has a unique ability to push and prod and demand a lot out of his players, but also he knows when to back off He knows when to be your buddy. He knows when to come into the meeting and tell a joke. He just has that really, really good sense of being able to read people and read a team and give them the medicine that they need at any moment. So from like a leader standpoint, from a guy that can motivate and make people better than they are, he's top notch. And then I think you add to it his football mind, his X's and O's, his ability to put together an offense. It's really also special. You know, he's got that background as a head coach, as an offensive coordinator on a number of levels. He just, for me, checks all the boxes as a head coach.
Has the last couple days felt any different? I know you're not out there every day, but he said he won't push you guys harder than he did last year and maybe as hard as he ever has pushed the team. Could you sense that?
I know the guys that were carrying the ball got a little bit sore because they were getting tackled a lot more than usual. But I guess from my little standpoint, I don't think of things like that. I'm just kind of like, all right, what's the next play? I got to run this. And when I'm done, I'm done. Get off the field and just go on to the next thing. So I guess I don't think of it from a big picture standpoint like that, really.